This coming Sunday, lunchtime, it will be the end of RHTS. Most of us already spent 2 weeks here. Let us think about, in the past 2 weeks, do we really have one good prayer so far? During the time of prayer, if you're so close to God, you have been touched so much by the Lord Jesus Christ, do we have? Well, this is very important. From the teaching, we learn a lot of theology, a lot of knowledge. But God is a living God. If you pile up your brain only with the knowledge and you go back, your life probably cannot be transformed too much. Now, but beside knowledge, if we feel we are so close to God, then our life will be transformed. So it's so important that in these 2 weeks, we need to have very, very good prayer. In the time of prayer, we feel so close to God. We feel that we have been inspired by God Himself. Oh. So the purpose of RHTS, not only let us know the Bible more and deeper, the purpose, one of the purposes is to transform our life. Oh. And in order to transform our life, we need to be closer to God. So, if you count, right, today we have two more time of prayer, and tomorrow will be Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday, almost very soon, we are finished. The seminar will be finished. So you have to hold on every opportunity, put into every effort to pursue after God. It's very important. You hear all the testimony of those who really serving God very fervently, or those who live for God, sacrifice a lot. You almost can find out one common phenomenon. They always been touched by God. So serving God or living your spiritual life, that motivation come from where? Not come from all your parents encourage you. Or not come from, it's a lot of fun. Or not come from, because of this, you will become more popular. Or not come from that, you're serving God, then you have some kind of self-fulfillment, self-actualization. That's all not the main reason we serve God. The reason we serve God is because the God Himself motivates me. How can God motivate me? One of the reasons is we draw ourselves very close to God. Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 1. Ezekiel chapter 1, verse 26. This is a vision witnessed by the prophet Ezekiel. Start from verse 10:26. And above the form armament over their head was likeness of the throne. It appeared like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Verse 27. And from the appearance of his waist and upwards, I saw, as it were, the color of amber with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downwards, I saw it were the appearance of fire with brightness all around. Like the appearance of rainbow in the cloud on the raining day, so was the appearance of the brightness around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of glory of the Lord. Here talk about Ezekiel witnessed the glory of the Lord in a vision. Why God showed him the vision? If we look into chapter 2, verse 1. So when I saw it, I fell on my face and heard a voice of one speaking. And he said to me, Son of man, stand up on your feet, and I will speak to you. So from start, chapter 2, verse 2 onwards, God started to speak to Ezekiel. And what God speak to Ezekiel actually was giving him a task to complete, a very difficult and important task to complete. And this difficult and important task was to bring the Israelite back to God. Oh, it's so difficult. The heart of Israel is so strong and so hard, like a stone. Oh, those Israelites try to resist the challenge from the prophet. They even try to persecute the prophet. So for Ezekiel, it's so difficult to facing this environment with hostility. The reason he was waiting to do so only because he witnessed the glory of God. So you know that this afternoon, this morning we talk about Isaiah and now Ezekiel. All the major prophets, they have very deep experience about God, the living God, the wonderful God, the powerful God, the glorious God. So once they have that kind of experience, they were waiting to do everything for God. Now, even sacrifice themselves, even die to a point of death. So in the next few days, let's do our best, put all the effort and draw ourselves near to God. Try to experience the closeness with God. That kind of movement and that kind of sweetness and that kind of peace. If we have that kind of experience in this NYTS, and next time you will come back. I remember one of the last year or the year before last year, all the full-time worker, they have a discussion about how come the NYTS attendance rate keep on declining. Everybody give different reason. And later on, one of the worker mentioned the reason is because our experience keep on decrying. I think this is a very good assessment. If every attendant really experienced God, really be moved by God, next time they are going to come back. No matter how difficult it is, they are going to come back. But if they fail to experience God, then there will be a lot of excuses. It's too far. Airfare is too high. I'm so too busy. Yes, we have to do everything to promote the awareness of the seminar. That more people know it's also important to attend RHTS. That more people, more parents understand the importance to let their children attend RHTS. That's all the work we have to do. But the key point to let everybody come back next year is your experience here about the living God. Just like Moses went up to the mountain, he behold the glory of God. when he beheld the glory of God, it's so glorious, he was waiting to sacrifice for God. Oh. And like the Ezekiel, this is only a vision recorded in the Bible, right? But when anything recorded in words, it already have a limitation. When Ezekiel saw that kind of real vision, there's something beyond description. There's something beyond comprehension. Oh. So many youths, their life have been transformed because during the time of NYTS, they really put effort into it. They really been touched by God. That's the reason they really want to come back. Oh. So if you never feel anything in this IHTS, maybe you will be absent next time because you never have any experience. But if you really have good experience in prayer, no, next time you will come back. This is the main point. This is the main key. Oh, draw ourselves near to God, being motivated by God himself. And then you will come back. And when you go back, you will serve God with some kind of power, some kind of motivation. It is God himself, and nobody can stop you. I remember some of the council members commented that after the NYTS graduate went back to their local church, they started to organize fasting prayer. Sabbath day, lunchtime, fasting prayer. Organized morning, fasting prayer. How come they were able to do so? Because they have experience in their prayer. So they feel the prayer is so precious. The fasting prayer is so powerful. No, you know, if fasting prayer you have no experience, you are going to find every excuses to go and drink and to eat. Oh, right. But if you experience the power of fasting prayer, you appreciate that we arrange the time of fasting prayer. So your prayer can experience something deeper than your regular prayer. So we are almost to the end of the RHTS. Please hold on every opportunity. Move aside all the obstacles and press forward to be close to God. It's so important. One thing we have to pray for, let's look into Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Here says the love of God has been poured out into our heart by the Holy Spirit. So we have to pray, continue to pray the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Once the Holy Spirit fill upon our heart, the love of God will fill upon our heart. Sometimes some of the council member or church member keep on discussing how to improve the church, become more loving, more caring, more warming towards the members, towards the truth seeker. Of course, there are many ways we can improve. But the key point is everybody has to be filled by the love of God. How can you be filled by the love of God? Through the Holy Spirit. So you look into Galatians, the fruit of Holy Spirit. The first one is love. The second one is joy. So how do we know I have been filled by the Holy Spirit? The first evidence is the love of God filled upon my heart. Because God is love and God is spirit. When we are filled by the Spirit, we are filled by the love of God. So if we read the Acts chapter 2, right? There are 3,000 people Most of them are not family member or not friend. But how come they were able to share everything together? That's because they were filled by the love of God. Jesus Christ, His love is not selfish. Do you know? He was waiting to give up everything He had. When He did 33 years of life, He never reserved anything for Himself. In His mind, He never think about enjoy anything good for Himself. He only think about use every moment of His time, every energy He had, try to spread the gospel, to share the blessing of God with others. So His love is without reservation. Right now, if we are filled by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, we will be filled by His love. Once we feel by the love of Jesus Christ, the church atmosphere will change. So the key point that the church can be transformed, there are many different ways, but the key point is we have to pray until we are filled by the Holy Spirit and the whole church filled with love of God. And then we are going to see the atmosphere changed. If we take out aside this part, you use a lot of human ways, you are going to see still something lacking. Nothing can substitute being filled by the love of God through the fullness of Holy Spirit. Nothing can substitute this. So how do we know I'm filled by the love of God or not? Let's look into Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. For God is my witness, how I greatly long for you, all with affection of Jesus Christ. I long for you with affection of Jesus Christ. You know, the Church of Philippines was established in the missionary trip of Paul, according to Acts chapter 16. He had been changing his own plan for a few times. Because the first time, Holy Spirit did not approve. The second time, the Spirit of God did not want him to go. So keep on changing until he saw a vision, the calling from Macedonia. And then he went to preach the gospel in Europe. And Holy Spirit guided him in the riverside, and he found out that several women were sitting there. And Paul started to preach them. And then the first sea is what? Lydia, right? And then the Church of Philippians was built up. But when he wrote the book of Philippians, he was in the last stage of his ministry. He was 1,000 miles away from the city of Philippines, right? Maybe there are already 20 or 30 decades different in time difference. But Paul was longing for them, right, with affection of Jesus Christ. You know, when you love somebody, you see somebody, you feel very joyful. That is the reason your parents want to see you, right? One day you go to the college, your parents are longing very much to see you. Right now is the technology very advanced. You can see the other party, right? Through the webcam. Originally, I have an iPad 1, but iPad 1 cannot see anybody. But I changed to iPad 3, so now I can see my children. But that is the human nature. When you love somebody, you want to see somebody. When you see somebody, you feel so joyful. Because you have love. But when you go to the shopping mall, you see so many people, you feel bothered, right? How come so many people? But when you come to the church, if you see anybody, you have no feeling. It's just somebody like a shopping mall. What does that mean? That means the love of Jesus Christ is not in us. So a very simple feeling is an indication whether we are filled by the love of Jesus Christ. You may fill with the knowledge of original text, what is love, agape, and this and that. But when you look at church member, no feeling, what does that use for? What does that use for? Of course, you know the original text, you know the Bible very well, that's good. But that cannot substitute. We are really being filled by the love of God through the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So, we have to pray until you look at into a church member, you have the feeling. One day I went to Baltimore to visit the church member, Washington, D.C. One of the brothers said, can I follow you? Yes, of course, you can help me to drive, why not? And he says, please stop by Baltimore, I want to see my daughter. He said, okay. And he did not see his daughter for about 2 or 3 months. When we reached that school, very far away, 2 blocks away, he saw his daughter. Then he started to shout aloud. I tell him, oh, so many people watching. Oh, how come he shout aloud? Because he did not see his daughter for 3 months. He was so joyful. How come? Because he loved his daughter. Today, we call brother and sisters. Why? Because we are the common father, the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we love, we see brother and sisters, we will really feel very joyful. Do you know, you always heard a lot of testimony, right? In the upper region, in churches in Taiwan, in 1950s, 60s, some of the members really like to visit the church in Taiwan, the mountain region. Why? Even you spend a few hours with them, the time you are going to depart, they shed tears. And you ask, why? Only spend a few hours. They shed tears because they were filled by the love of Jesus Christ. So when they see us, they really feel very joyful. Oh, right? No. So if we don't come to church, we have no feeling. That means we have no love. Because the church is the brother and Jesus loved by Jesus. Brother and sister loved by the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are filled by the love of Jesus Christ, you will be very joyful. You see the beloved brother Jesus or sister in the church. So a very small feeling will indicate whether we are filled by the love of Jesus Christ. If you see the brother and sister, you feel very joyful. And then when you come to church, you don't want to leave. When you leave, you want to come back. So we have to pray until we are filled by the love of Jesus Christ. Another point, indication whether we are filled by the Holy Spirit. Let's see Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them. Jesus Christ, right? Intended to move the other shore of the lake to rest and to a meal. But as soon as he landed, he saw so many people already run before him. Right? And Jesus looked at them. What the Bible say? Jesus looked at them, 34. He has compassion to them. Feel very pitiful about them. Why? Because they are like a lamb without shepherd, a sheep without shepherd. So because of this, he was waiting to sacrifice the race, sacrifice the meal, and continue to preach to them. So today, sometimes in the church, we keep on asking the church member, oh, church seeker come, everybody has to greet them, everybody say hello to them, don't let them be neglected. But still, when the church seeker come, nobody care. Why? Because we are not filled by the love of God. Because we are not filled by the Holy Spirit. If we are filled by the Holy Spirit, filled by the love of God, you look into the church seeker, you will have compassion to them. You really want them to be saved. So you want to spend time to share my personal testimony, my personal experience. You will spend time to share my personal insight about the Jesus Christ, about the true church. When everybody had compassion to the true seeker, none of the true seeker will be neglected. Oh. So the key point is, we have to be filled by the love of God through the fullness of Holy Spirit. Oh. Right? So now, you look around the brother and sister. When you see the brothers and sisters, do you have feeling? If you have no feeling, that's pretty hard. Right? Until we are filled by the Holy Spirit. When you look at the true seeker, do you have compassion to them? If you have no feeling, let's pray hard until we are filled by the love of Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus Christ is powerful. Oh, it can transform a person. It can transform you. It can transform me. It can transform everybody. It can transform a church. So we need to use every opportunity to pursue the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Oh, let's come forward and pray.